Good morning and welcome to our Tuesday morning radio show. I'm Kathy Houston and I'll be your host for today, and I'm joined by a stellar cast of characters. My usual buddies are all the way at the ASI show in Chicago. So let's start with Jake Krolik, marketing manager extraordinaire. Welcome aboard, Jake, for this morning.
What's up, Kathy?
You're on your way to Chicago after this, right?
I am. I jump on a plane and I'll be there this evening.
You're a traveling man. Thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Yeah, you know, I was just asleep. I lost, but hey.
You could sleep right now. We don't really care. Next, we have award-winning public relations manager, Dawn Shermitis.
Woohoo!
Welcome to you too, Dawn. Now, you were a little bit nervous about doing the radio show, but you really don't have to be.
Yeah, I have performance anxiety.
Well, you look cool as a cucumber.
Good.
So welcome to you too.
I fake it very well.
Very good. Fake it till you make it. Next, we have Advantage's staff writer, Jen Vishnevsky, who also just won an award.
I was going to say, I better get that title.
You definitely, award-winning writer, Jen Vishnevsky.
Right,
and
here.
She won an award for an article she wrote on bloggers and tweeters. So congratulations to
Thanks.
You. And thank you for coming to the radio show this morning.
My pleasure, Kath.
And finally, we've got the man, Craig Veltri, at the soundboard. Do you have any cool sounds, Craig? Very good. Very good. And Vinny Driscoll, he's answering the phones. Give him a call because he's pretty cute. You might get a date. I don't know. First, we have Jake over there. And Jake, you're going to give us the lineup for today.
I do. Thanks, Kath. Well, we're going to start with a call from Chicago from Melinda. And then we're going to take some call-in questions. And the subject for that is, how do I overcome some prospects' perceptions that ad specialties are unnecessary trinkets? There's an I Promote You commercial, as always. I'll take 8 tips for Skype interviews. Jen will do how to not piss off coworkers in nearby cubicles.
That's good. Good luck.
Dawn will talk about building buzz on Twitter, the celebrity way. Kathy has 5 affordable ways to build employee happiness. Then it's back to me for 4 times you shouldn't pay with plastic. And then we all talk about our favorite things. And then if we've got time, Jen will come in with 7 career lessons from Tina Fey's Bossy Pants.
Love it.
Dawn will have 10 tragic flaws of leaders. And we'll wrap it all up with the Houston.
Oh, the Houston. Thank you, Jake. Thanks for that. Okay, we want you to call us today with your questions about overcoming perceptions that some prospects have about this industry as just selling trinkets and freebies and stuff that people throw away. And we all know differently. So give us a call today at 915-953-4979. And I think we already have a caller on the line. It's line 1, and it's June. Hi, June.
Hi, how are you?
Good, hey, how are you?
I'm great.
What's your dilemma?
Well, I have a hard time cold calling prospects because when they find out what I do, they say, oh, tchotchkes. Or they say they don't have any money in their budgets to spend on freebies. So how do I get past this?
Okay, well, first of all, I would point you to our ASI ad impression study. It's been very well received. We've done it. We've conducted it twice. And the last time we did it was global. We visited England, Canada. I forget where else, but it's online, and it's really a big help with overcoming perceptions like that. And I'd also suggest that you present some really good case studies or success stories of other people in the same industry as maybe your prospects and how you've helped them with rebranding and maintaining their reputation and things like that. Does anybody have anything to add?
I would definitely pull the facts from that study, facts about money. And its positive relationship and the use of promotional products is going to help.
Is that study on the ASI website?
Yes, it is.
It is. It's under research, Dawn?
Yeah, and it has its own page, and you can download the graphics, the press release, and the press release has about 10 bullet points, which are loaded with facts and stats that are very dazzling. And basically, it says that ad specialties are less expensive per impression than most other media, and I think most people will be surprised by the fact that we beat the pants off of primetime TV as far as cost effectiveness and affordability. So, you know, you hit them with the facts and bowl them over.
Definitely. Also, the Counselor's State of the Industry survey is coming out, if it hasn't already, and that has a lot of good, important stats about the industry, too, that you could possibly share with your clients. And well, thanks, June. Stay on the line, and Vinny will get your information for your Visa gift card.
Thanks.
And for everybody else out there that's listening, if you call in with the question, 953-4979, that's 215 area code, you'll get a $25 Visa gift card. Who could resist? On the same note, we have a couple of Facebook questions, and I'm going to start with one that's similar to what June was bringing up. It's from Sally Danielle Anderson, and she says she would use some of the facts from the ASI impression study that was recently published. However, she's not sure which ones best fit the situation. She needs a cheat sheet to help her out. She wants to know, in the report, which facts would you tell your prospect without sounding like you're just reading from some survey? Jen, I know you wrote an article based on this impression study. Did any facts jump out at you?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is that you just don't want to sound like you're reading a study. And I think, you know, one thing to remember is that statistics are well received. So don't worry about, you know, quoting too many of them because it won't sound too technical. But a couple that I would say just jumped right out at me. You can start off by saying that at a half a cent, advertising specialties are less expensive per impression than most other marketing media. And that'll kind of get your prospect to listen a little closer to the fact that you're doling out some really hard statistics. And one other thing I would mention is that a lot of resistance comes up with investing in promotional products. So you can just mention that if there's an item that the recipient doesn't plan to keep, 62% of Americans say that they give the product away to someone who will use it and they don't just throw it away. So those are a few, but I would say just remember, Sally, if you're going to use statistics, it's all about the execution and just sound knowledgeable about it.
And very one good thing that I always tell people is check your own office. Look around your own office,
that's
your own
idea.
Home,
yeah, that's great.
And look at how many promo products you have, and then you realize, oh my God, I stare at these things every day. I've got the pen, I've got the USB, I've got the T-shirt, my kids are wearing the caps.
Exactly.
And, you know, everywhere you go, take a look, you know, when you go to your kid's soccer game, look around and see how many people are wearing logo T-shirts or
mm-hmm.
caps.
Right.
How many times you go to the bank or go to the grocery store and look at the pen that people are using to sign their receipts. I mean, then you start to realize the power of promotional products.
Yeah, and also to take that a step further, just think about how many people are wearing these clothes or using these pens or have the magnets or calendars on their fridge. And they're seeing those phone numbers and that's who they're calling for their pizza. Or that's who they're calling mm-hmm. to clear out their toilet when they have a plumbing problem. Things like that. But really, you know what I'm saying?
Kathy, what's on your fridge?
Lots of things, Jake. Okay, now on line two, we have one of our favorite callers, Stanley. And Stanley has a question. Hi, Stanley. How are you today?
Good. Very good. I actually had a question and a comment. I think one of the reasons why our industry has so many problems with it is because a lot of people, they just want to make the sale at the very end, like a real quick sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we go in with the attitude of, you know, like I just had a client that we were talking to him about, well, if they don't like promotional products, I guarantee their competition loves them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was kind of an interesting little thing. But the situation I get into is how do you get into an industry you've never sold in and get them to realize that the importance of them is so real and that it really is a value as opposed to them just, you know, as the other caller just said, you know, there really isn't much to it. They've done it before. I think it's almost like it's a situation where I think we try to go after clients that really embrace it.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't try to, like, you know, they say it's easier to run with 1,000 than drag one behind you. But what are your thoughts on how long should you take to work with a client to get them to want to do it as opposed to just moving on to the next group of people that embrace the promotional campaigns?
Well, I'd say don't give up for a while. I mean, keep hitting them with, you know, you can send them an email, an e-newsletter, something that would be pertinent to their market. It doesn't have to be like a knock over the head to sell a product. Just say, hey, I read this about your industry and I thought you'd, you know, enjoy reading it or it would be important to your business. If you keep hitting them like that, like a soft sell all along, you know, the way, maybe every couple of months or every month, they're more likely to see, hey, he's really interested in my business as opposed to just in his business and making sales. You know what I'm saying? And if you want to get into other industries, I would use referrals because it doesn't matter if you're whatever industry you're working in, you're doing the same kind of thing for each client. You're rebranding them or you're helping them create goodwill in the community or you are creating, you know, some public relations campaign for them and building buzz. So I think there are similarities among every industry.
And don't be afraid to offer them a deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, offer them a great deal. Let's try this, see how effective it is. And if it works, they're going to do it again and again and again. And if it doesn't, what have you lost? As long as it's a small deal.
Right. So referrals, work with your suppliers on getting some good pricing maybe right off the bat for that prospect. And like I said, hit them with soft sells multiple times. Okay, Stanley?
Yeah,
hope
awesome.
Hope
awesome.
That helps.
Yeah, I appreciate that. That opens up a kind of a new new idea.
Well, thanks a lot, and thanks for calling. Call again next week, Stanley.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Okay, line one, we have another caller, Lisa. And Lisa has a question, too. Hello, Lisa. How are you?
Hi, I'm great. How are you?
Great.
Good. My question is, when you have products like microwave popcorn, spray sanitizer, things like that that are going to be used up and leave an impression for a while, but then they're throwaways. How do you overcome the throwaway part or something that won't stay with the client?
Well, I think Jake has an idea, but I would say incorporate those throwaway items that are logoed into something that's not throwaway. Maybe you put the popcorn in a basket or the packet of coffee in an imprinted coffee mug. Then you hit them twice, and also you're upselling your client.
Or I know that spray sanitizer too, we've got Leashables that puts these great little leashes on things that clip them onto stuff. So you actually have the little clip part that's logoed as well that'll stick even after the sanitizer goes away too, and you can put a new one in there.
Right, exactly. So
great ideas.
Yeah, so I mean anything that's a throwaway, make sure you try and encourage your client to incorporate that into something that's not a throwaway.
Definitely.
And tell them they'll make multiple impressions on their end buyers with that.
Okay,
hopefully that helps. Hold on and Vinny will get your information.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, let's have another Facebook question, and then we'll go to a commercial. We have a question from Judy Brown, and she says she'd love to be able to incorporate more strong case studies in her presentations about the value and cost effectiveness of promotional items. What are the best avenues to find good case studies? Again, we would suggest going to the ad impression study. You find that on asicentral.com under research. And also, we have a new newsletter that goes out monthly, Advantages Case Studies e-newsletter. So if you go to asicentral.com too and sign up for that newsletter, you'll get a bunch of great case studies. And also look in your monthly Advantages and Counselor magazines. We always have some great case studies. Jen writes them, as a matter of fact, and she does a stellar job finding great success stories for everyone to use. Okay, we'll go to a commercial right now, and then when we come back, Jake is going to have 8 tips for Skype interviews.
Woohoo!
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@iPromoteU.com.
Very good. Thanks, Jen. Okay, Jake.
So, Skype interviews.
Jake, Skype interviews. They seem to be all the rage these days.
Everyone's doing a Skype interview.
Do tell.
I mean, I don't Skype interview, but I like to
Skype.
Well, because
you like your job, so
yeah,
you're not interviewing.
I'm not interviewing. But I like Skype, though.
Yeah, everybody
I Skype
does.
Every week.
Mm-hmm.
It's great.
In your pajamas?
I do. My buddy's in Europe, so it makes it really easy to see his kids and him. And I mean, you know what? When I was looking at the article, it made perfect sense. Some of the tips are just common sense when using Skype in general. Like the first one is look at the camera, not the screen, because you'll see some people looking at the screen, and you're like, why am I looking at your forehead?
That's what
sometimes?
I would do.
So look at the camera.
Right. Very good.
Be aware of interruptions. You're Skyping probably in your house, so you want to watch out for the dog that comes running in or your wife coming out of the shower.
Uh-oh.
Practice, then this is good for a regular interview tip too. You know, practice in front of the mirror, look at yourself, see what you're doing, make sure you're not making funny faces. Mind your background. So think about if you're going to set up an interview in your home, you want to set up an area that looks a little bit more presentable, probably not in front of the trash can or
dirty dishes
or your college posters on the wall.
Exactly. Your Farrah Fawcett poster.
Your Farrah Fawcett. Well, that might be going back a few years. Avoid patterned clothing and make sure you conduct mock interviews. And again, that goes back to the mirror. Test your audio and video. Nothing worse than Skype and not knowing what you're doing on it.
Yeah, I would say so.
And the final thing is, and you should probably do this with depending on the job interview, but add extra enthusiasm so that what you're doing is you're showing that you're enthusiastic to someone who's looking at you on a screen versus in person.
Very good. Great tips, Jake.
Yeah, those are my tips.
Those are Jake's tips, and we'll have those up on asicentral.com/radio. Thanks,
yeah,
Jake.
No problem.
Okay, now, Jen, you're kind of an expert in this.
So I thought I was a good cubicle mate until I read this, and I'm like, oh, I kind of do a lot.
What should you not do?
So I'll tell you what you should do first. But the most important thing I read from this, there's a couple of tips, and we can put them up on the website, but one thing that I do is have meetings at my cubicle, and this article says never hold meetings at your cubicle. Not only is it disruptive to your coworkers, but it's unprofessional. So you should go elsewhere, whether it's grab a coffee or go into a break room.
Mm-hmm.
That's one. The other thing is befriend your neighbors, and I think I do this well, so you'll have to ask Carrie Boderman. She's been my cube mate for a while. You don't want to be isolated from your neighbors. You want to keep up a dialogue always, check in, see how they're doing. And that also kind of just creates a better atmosphere. I feel like if you're being loud or you're doing interviews, your cubicle mates aren't going to be so upset about it. They're not really going to care as much.
Mm-hmm.
So on that note, kind of be mindful of your volume, stay off your speakerphone. Those are some of the commandments you can keep up. And also, don't forget to make your cubicle like a small part of your home. Show it your personality, and that makes everybody around the office a little bit more receptive to what you've got going on.
I like it. What, Jake? Why are you
I'm
laughing?
I'm just laughing.
Don't curse.
I'm such a bad cubicle mate. I play loud music. My cube's got
loud
stuff that comes out of it. I have meetings in there.
I know. You would be surprised at how many things you do and you don't even know.
Well, Jake,
use your indoor voice. I don't have an indoor voice.
No,
so
we know. We know this. I do. I'm very quiet.
So, yeah.
Except you've
got an
office.
She has a door, too.
I have an office. Thanks be to God. Okay. Thanks for those tips, Jen, and they'll be up on our radio site, too. Dawn, you are the PR pro. So give us some ways to build buzz on Twitter the celebrity way.
Number one is build anticipation. Mm-hmm. If you have a product launch or something exciting coming up, don't wait until day of. Start building anticipation a few days before. Send out a couple of tweets. Ask questions. People are always compelled to answer questions when they're posted. You know, think about the popularity of all these online quizzes. Everyone answers those and
right.
circulates them.
I always do.
Yeah. So build anticipation. Leak secret information. Even if it isn't so secret,
mm-hmm.
it's all in the cell. So if it sounds secret or if you make it out to be secret, people are going to be compelled to try to get more.
Right.
Integrate social media into your events. If you're planning a big event, after the speakers wrap up their presentation, make sure they tweet a memorable quote to their following. Avoid a crisis. Everyone knows that when you have a crisis, the best thing to do is to confront it.
Right.
Don't try to pretend that it hasn't happened. Don't stonewall because nothing makes people angry,
mm-hmm.
not getting the information. When Justin Bieber, you know, the god of Twitter.
Can I tell you I hate that kid? But go ahead.
Ditto.
You kind of have similar hair, though, to the Bieber.
That's because I really have Bieber fever secretly.
She's Bieberific. He had a big crowd waiting for the concert. The concert was late, and everyone was getting angry. So he went on Twitter, and he started Twittering with all of his followers. And so they felt like they were engaged in a conversation, and it calmed everyone down, and they felt like they were getting something and someone was paying attention to
them. Was he telling them why he was late?
Yeah,
I was going to say, okay. Should he be on stage then?
Yeah. So I don't know if it was a technical issue or whatever. But it's communication.
That's smart. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't stonewall.
That's really smart.
The Bieber went up a notch.
Yeah.
Not really. Not for me. Maybe for you, Jake.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks a lot. Those are some great tips from our PR guru over there. We have another Facebook question, which is a little unusual, but maybe one of us has an answer for this. This is from Sheila, and she's an office manager, and she says she recently had a client rush into her office and literally push his way in between another client and herself as they were in the middle of a conversation. She acknowledged him as quickly as she could without being rude to the first client. He started saying how he was in a hurry and had to speak to her right away, and he was walking back and forth in front of her desk, making sure he would get her attention. She wants to know, how should she have handled that situation? And how can you make each client feel like they are number one?
Stun gun.
That's a great idea, Dawn.
Stun gun.
Stun gun.
Which client do you shoot?
The rude one. Yeah. The rude one, definitely. You have any ideas for that, Jake?
I guess, my gut says is that I would say to the client that I'm speaking with currently, let me take 1 second to handle this situation, and I'll get right back to you. And I would go to the client who just came in, and I would say, sir, I know that you're in a rush, and you're an important client to me, but if you could take 5 minutes to just sit down so I can finish with this client first that I was with beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And that way you've acknowledged him, so he doesn't have to pace back
That's
and
right.
forth. And you can go back to the other client without taking more than a few seconds to make that acknowledgement come through, and then handle this person who you were talking with to begin with. And the other client really has to respect your time and respect the person who was there before them. I mean, that's just kind of common sense, and it's just being polite.
Yeah, exactly.
I also think if you have a person at the front desk, you can kind of set up those boundaries with a secretary to just be like, you know, I'm in a meeting no matter what. Do not let anyone pass this. And then, I mean, the person just gets shut down and they have to kind of behave and wait their turn.
I mean, really, how important can it be that he has to pace in front of her desk while she's talking to another client?
I don't know. I'm sure you all have seen it happen.
Yeah.
Though. I mean, I see it happen all the time.
Yeah.
It does. Some people just feel that they have more important problems than someone else.
I guess everybody feels that way. But anyway, that's just rude, and that's how we would handle it.
Mm.
Okay, we have another caller. He's another one of our favorite callers, Irv. He's on line one, and he has a comment about cubicle etiquette. Hi, Irv.
Hello, how are you today?
Great, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Good.
I wanted to kind of put a different take on the cubicle courtesy
mm-hmm.
and do it, kind of flip it a little bit. If you've ever been assigned a cubicle that's perhaps right outside the restroom doors,
ew.
Or perhaps where the fax machine might be located, or pretty close to where the copy machine might be,
mm-hmm.
the people utilizing those services, they have to remember that that person in that cubicle is trying to do a job.
Mm, that's true, too.
And every now and then, you know, it becomes a... No matter who it is, they feel compelled to say hi and start up a conversation with you while you're trying to, you know, work through your day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice to be cordial, but in the same respect, you have to understand that that is not probably the best place to be assigned a location. And it usually shows up when there's an opportunity to move. They're usually the people who are first to try to get a better spot.
Yeah, those are great insights. And I wonder if there's like somebody in the industry should make cubicle signs that you can hang on your cubicle, like do not disturb and
sure.
shut
sure.
up.
I remember a guy who did just that. He put caution tape across the entire entrance to his cubicle and had a little sign dangling, said, I got to get this out today, please. You
uh-huh.
know, and everybody really, you know, took
respected
to that.
That's a great idea. I was just researching some products on ESP yesterday, and I saw, I think it's a new supplier called Mood Flags. And they're moodflags.com. And you put them in your cubicle, and it says, like, caution, great day, bad day, you know, red
yeah.
flag, something like that. That would be kind of a cute idea for
yeah.
that, too.
Maybe even the flag thing with, like, a red, a yellow, and a green. You
exactly.
know?
Yeah, right. Approach with caution.
Yeah, you got
slow
it.
Slow down.
Well, those are great ideas, Irv, and thank you for calling us
okay.
again. And listen in again next week and give us another call. And hold on the phone for hold on your line for Vinny to get
thank
your
you
information. Jake, you had some comments about that. You said you were parked outside of.
I am. The fax machine is right next to me, and people like to chat. Although at least in the marketing department, we're in the culture of. We put our headphones on, which
mm-hmm.
symbolizes I'm doing work. Don't talk to me.
Right.
And we take our headphones off, and that's fair game. Anyone's free for all.
Yeah.
Talk to whoever you want.
Yeah, that's kind of a good.
We
sign.
Also all work together, so there's a lot of talking about work.
Right.
When it's going on.
You know, I've recently become a shredder. So I've started shredding documents.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we have this
giant. I thought you meant you were really ripping on guitar now.
And, you know, we have this huge shredding machine, and it's right near several people's cubicles. And I've tried to go after 5
yeah.
to do my shredding because it makes a god-awful noise. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And every single time I go, I want to apologize to everyone there. But then I realize that after this caller, everyone probably
yeah.
apologized, and they're probably sick of everyone engaging with them. So I'm glad that I've not apologized and
keep it up.
Thought I was rude, but I was actually being very smart.
Very good.
Nice.
That is smart, Dawn. Okay. I'm supposed to talk about something now, right? Okay.
Yeah. You're building employee happiness.
How are you doing it? Let's
okay.
see this.
And this doesn't have to cost any money at all. It's just a way of acknowledging them. Okay. First of all, send love notes, not love notes that will get you in trouble with HR. Okay.
dirty love notes.
No, by this I mean writing and sending a thank you note. Like, you do it when somebody sends you a gift, but if an employee goes above and beyond the call of duty for you, send them a handwritten idea. Thank you note. I send emails.
Yeah, Kathy sends me love notes.
I send her love emails, but I don't ever write a handwritten note. I don't know if you'd prefer that, Jen.
I'm okay.
Maybe I'll start doing that. Okay, and distribute inspiration. Now, this sounds kind of hokey, but it can work. If you are the leader of the department, you might send an inspirational quote every day or something inspirational, kind of story that you came across. It just gives everybody a little sunnier attitude around the office. Tell success stories. Of course, this all goes with recognition, which our industry knows all about. Point out when people are doing a great job and applaud them in front of their peers. And also bring the family into it, too, because that goes a long way. If you have the family on hand for somebody who's, say, getting employee of the year or something like that. That mm-hmm. goes a long way, too. And identify stars. It all goes with the same theme, the employee of the week or month program. So ASI is big on that, you know. I'm sure Jake's gotten it a bunch of times. Right, Jake?
I have a few. I don't know.
All right. On that. Let's get off of that topic, and let's go to our favorite things while we still have time. Let's start with Jake. What's your favorite thing of the week?
Mine is I'm into bandanas these days.
Oh, yeah. For what? Your dog?
No, for me. I like to wear bandanas.
Oh,
I'm into
bandana.
Them. I don't have one on today, but I found this cool company called Caroline Bandana that will take your company logo. And you know, like the classic bandana has like paisleys.
Right.
Well, it'll take your company logo and work it into the paisley design so that you've got your logo and it looks like a real bandana.
Wow. Really?
And you can find them there, ASI 44020.
That sounds really cool. Now, what kind of markets and programs would you recommend bandanas for?
Bandanas are, yeah, definitely. It definitely screams rock and roll. It also mm-hmm. is really big in the sports world, in the action sports world. You'll see all the kids like covering their faces with bandanas
yeah.
right now because it's cool to look like a gangster.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Gangsterish.
So bandanas, they're on the rise.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Dawn, you have a fave?
I like things that are multi-purpose, mm-hmm. all-in-one. Has a product that's a pen, a laser, and a USB.
Oh.
So you've got three things you can do. You can point at meetings. You can write. If you're in a meeting and somebody has some information for you, rather than having to say, email it to me, you can download it right away and pop it in your pocket mm-hmm. and go.
Great. And Jen?
So I saw this at the ASI show in New York. I'll hold it up. It's a solar USB charger. And the way it works is you kind of lay it flat. It charges from the sun during the day, and it holds the charge. So whenever you need to charge phone, BlackBerry, you can do laptop. It works with iPads. Basically, anything that takes a USB interface, you plug it in, you turn it on, and then it will charge from the solar energy that it's absorbed. And I used this yesterday at the beach, and it was a lifesaver. My battery ran out.
Wow.
I couldn't call anybody. I let it literally sit while I was laying out on the beach, charged up, and charged my phone. And it's small. It's really handy. I carry it around everywhere.
So that's why you didn't answer any of my calls.
Now you know.
All right. And my favorite is from Whimsical Watches. And as the name implies, they sell whimsical watches. And I like the photo watch. Anyway, their ASI number is 97073. But you send any photo that you want into this supplier, and they'll make up a bunch of the watches with the photo. Now, the sample they gave is a couple on their wedding day. I don't know how many people want to wear a watch with a couple on their wedding day. But think about if you're, like, selling to the pet market, you might put a cute dog on there or cat or whatever.
Or a bandana.
Jake in a bandana. But, like, think of that for bands, too, like, or concerts, if it's, like, one singer. You give that as a souvenir, the singer on the watch band, like Justin Bieber.
That would work.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or even like for a reunion or a party, a big party celebrating somebody, maybe the person of honor that everybody loves or something like that. But anyway, you can email sales@whimsicalwatches.net for that. I think we have time for one more topic. And Jen, I'm going to throw it to you.
I'm bossy pants.
Because you're bossy. Let's give us some career lessons from Tina Fey's Bossy Pants.
So the book's, I don't know if anybody's read it, but it's a must read. And it's all about her improv career, kind of her life, how she came up in the world. And a couple things that she ties in back to improv is recognizing that you're going to fail sometimes. And one thing that she notes is that a lot of people fail in improv, but they kind of keep going. So if you're afraid to make a mistake, you're never going to get anything done. And you just have to move on and make sure that your successes outnumber your failures. Otherwise, you're in a pretty problem.
You're screwed.
One other thing, and I try to do this a lot, but think of solutions, not questions. So don't come to your boss saying, basically, I have a problem and I don't know what to do about it. Kind of think of the solution first and then present, saying what Tina Fey says
is, I need more love notes from Kathy.
I'm hurting. If you're in a situation at work, don't just run to your boss saying this project's going to fail and we're going to lose millions of dollars. Think about a way saying this is how we're going to fix it, mm-hmm. and then you can keep your job too. Right. So it's always a plus.
Yeah, everybody likes a person with a positive attitude. No negative, no negative Nellies.
Exactly.
Joke on you. Nancy's.
All right, anyway, we're going to wrap it up. And Melinda never called in. I don't know. She must have gotten way late Chicago.
Did they make it? Do we know if they made it?
She did make it. She texted me this morning and said she was calling, but she must have gotten sidetracked. But anyway, if you want to see what's going on at ASI Chicago, go to youtube.com/ASI Central, and you'll see great videos from the hot party and the education sessions and all that fun stuff.
I'll be at the hot party.
Until then, thank you everyone for joining me today, and we'll be back here next week, and have a great week.